Praxis. Campus Radio. Thank you for your time. The Fast Forward Festival unfortunately is cancelled.
Yeah.
The world is in lockdown. What are you up to these days?
Well, actually, these days is a bit complicated because there's a lot of cancellation, but at the same time, the situation is not like March. So theaters are trying to find other solutions. And next week we had 2 weeks of shows in Barcelona with Peace for Children. And actually it's canceled for the audience, but they will not cancel it for schools. So, but the thing is that we knew at last moment. So everything is in a rush, actually.
Yeah, that's so, like the normal thing today, yeah?
What we have learned in this situation is not to schedule in too much and to be very open because you have to improvise a lot.
So like to be open and spontaneous, so you learned this in this time or is it like something you have always...
Actually, we are a bit like this because we are kind of chaotic. Also in the creation, we are always very open and very spontaneous. But at some moment when you have to coordinate groups and work and money, you need a bit to also to have some things clear. And of course, in this situation, a lot of these issues are not so clear. The thing that can save everything is a bit cooperation, to be passionate and to be empathic. And to collaborate with the entities, with theaters and with people who's working with them, because nobody knows nothing.
Yeah. So, later in this interview, I have a few questions to this. But first, I want to talk about a little bit about El Conde de Torrefiel.
Yes.
I hope I pronounced it right.
Yes.
So you and Pablo Gisbert, you are this duo. How would you describe your partnership to someone? Know a lot about you?
I would say collective, even if it's not really like that. But what is clear is that we hide a bit behind this name in order to not appear too much, in order to avoid this thing of author, the name. So that's why we always put in front this name, El Conde de Torrefiel, which is something a bit abstract and for us it's more comfortable to work like this because always the work in theater is a group work, never is the result of one mind, but is always a sum of energies of all the people who are involved in the different projects.
Could you describe a little bit how got this collaboration started?
Yeah. So El Conde de Torrefiel exists previously with Pablo because it was the name under which he did his first work. Meanwhile, he was still at school studying theater. So it was not like a professional project, but it was the way how he present his work when he was making a lot of tryouts and he was in the very beginning of the trajectory. We met... working for a dance company, La Veronal. He was a dramaturg and I was like performing there, not as a dancer, but as an actress. And we were working there. So we were very much in contact with the dynamics of choreography and dance. So we want to, as we both came from theater backgrounds, we wanted to applicate somehow the things we learn in a dance company to theater, to more like a textual proposal. Because we are not theater, but we do describe as ourselves as theater. We are not theater in the classical understanding, but actually text is, let's say, the main part of the pieces is really the strong line that articulates the movement. But then we work the movement and the bodies on stage more with a choreographic mind.
Yeah. this play that we would see on Fast Forward Festival La Plaza.
La Plaza text version.
Text version, yeah.
Yes. From the beginning, it was obvious that we could not travel the whole crew of La Plaza. So the director, Charlotte, wanted to make a version that even if we don't go, it would have been possible to perform it. But she didn't count with the alternative, the worst case scenario of theater close.
Tell us a little bit about this play. What was your first idea? What were your first thoughts, like inspiration maybe?
So we normally start to work very open, very nude, with a very bunch of intuitions more than ideas. And we had a formal idea or a formal starting point, which was a sentai, which is a suit that covers the whole body. So we wanted to represent a bit, we always work a bit how we feel in that moment, and we wanted to bring on stage a bit this sensation to not be totally in touch with the reality that surrounds us. And also we want to a bit work and question it and interrogate the language of images nowadays. So how images are speaking to us and how they are modelizing or giving shape to reality, and how these affect us, and how different is the reality from the images that picture a reality. So a big this contrast between an artificial reality or the created reality against the real reality, the gap to put on stage, the gap between these two conditions.
Adolfo Fernandez Garcia, yes. That's your sound design for La Plaza.
He's a technical sound director. He's a technical character. But in terms of designing the sound, it's Pablo.
So what is important for you both when it comes to music?
Actually, the music is the more important thing. Because when we finally give a shape to a piece, we always work according to the musical course. We create the time and how scenes become on stage according to musical logics, according to rhythm, and it's very musical, the composition, because our dramaturgies are not narrative, are more emotional or sensorial strategies, structures, so they really lie in a musical dynamic. So music is very important. And of course, all what we put in terms of sound and of music are like the frame where the action and the text are working. They are giving the mood and the sensation. They complete all the images and words that we present on stage.
So do you have first the music and then you can like go on in your
We first always have the movement. We have a lot of movement, a lot of scenes, a lot of possibilities. Then we have musics that of course we work in the process of rehearsals, and then we try to create a structure putting together movement and text. And then we put the music to complete the atmosphere.
In my experience, when I'm editing like videos or stuff like this, sometimes it will last hours when I search for music. How long do you search for music? I mean, do you both
a lot? Of course, we always, when we are in the rehearsal, we work with a lot of lists of musics and sounds, and we may try outs of every kind of music and sound that this image can work with, because it's not the same to do a small action and maybe put a sentence. I would make an example as I'm going home. And if you put a sound, or you put a happy music or a sad music, it changes all the meaning of the scene. So, of course, in the final result, the music is always the last because it's giving the right tone of the scene. But we have worked with a lot of music and sounds. And actually in La Plaza, music in itself, there is not so much tracks, but there is a lot of landscape. And this landscape, often they are made by audios that are taken from videos of YouTube or things, and then we adulterate, we work them, we gave them some deepness, or we change the pitch, or we put them together with another sound in order to create another landscape in terms of sound, which is really giving the three dimension of all what is happening on stage, the third dimension. It's giving volume, actually.
So I read that future is also a topic in your work. What's so fascinating about it for you?
Well, actually, I will answer you according to what I'm experiencing now. I'm reading now Mark Fisher, and he talks a lot about these cancelled futures or lost futures. And it's very interesting because he's putting in words a sensation that we do have when we create pieces, that we do have in our life. That is, okay, we are in a very constant present, and what happened next? Where are we going to? And we always experience a bit the frustration to not understand, to not really be capable to do something that really can make us do a big step forward. And in this sense, Mark Fisher really pictures very well why we feel this impossibility of really make a revolution or really change to really create new things, and how our society somehow is living in a constant nostalgia. And I think in La Plaza, even without, when we create that piece, without reading those texts of Mark Fisher, this sensation is very, very present.
How changed the pandemic your view on the future?
Still the same, I think. I don't think this pandemic would really change something. I think this pandemic is just a symptom more of what we were already in. So, but I don't think minds of people or of the system, even if there are words saying that, I don't think anybody really wants to change or it's capable to think a structure deep change.
What changes do you see for the art of theater in general during and after the pandemic?
Yeah, this is something, of course, it's a question that is very present now. There is something in theater that for me is impossible to change, and it's the present, to be present. Of course, this condition, it's been very much affected with pandemic, but I don't think that this will change in the future. Actually, is the most important thing of the theater. Of course, there is this online things, but I think this is not a possibility for theater. It is just a formal change, a formal possibility, but not a possibility or a reality in its essence. And this will not change. And if it changes, if theaters becomes like digital, then it will not be theater. It would be another thing. because theater has a quality that has to do with the material that work with, which is time. And it's time in the sense that people who are in the theater are experimenting their time in their body as gravity, because they are there and they feel the presence of their body there. When you are in front of a screen, you feel a lot of other things, but you don't feel your body because you are in another level, which is more mental.
Our listeners are a lot of students. You both studied drama?
Yes, yes. I studied drama as an actress, and Pablo, he studied first direction, and then he moved to dramaturgy, like playwriting.
So what advice would you give a fresh new student for studying arts?
To work, to make tryouts, because I think art is a craft work. It's really a work that you have to do. You can study it, it's good to study, it's good to have reference, it's good to know things about it, but if you stuck in the academic, then it's very difficult to create, because creation, it's a bit an act of faith. You are always blind, and you have to accept this blindness, and you have to work free without so much reference, so much information, so much knowledges, because when you create this knowledge that were analyzed during the history would probably make you censor and judge you, and they will finally block you. So one thing is to study and one thing is to do, and the only way to really improve is to do. Because it's like a sports. You can study sports, but if your body is not trained, if you don't run, if you don't jump, if you don't do it, you would never be you will never increase. It's like, I don't know, Maradona, he's a mystery. He's very good because he have always lived with a ball. He always have playing football. He doesn't think about playing football. He plays football.
Coronavirus, we don't know how long we will have this virus, yeah, and how long everything is shut down and stuff like this. Do you have to think like, okay, we have to plan an alternative that is also digital? So you need to have two options now.
This is a tricky question, because actually myself, this is a personal experience. I feel that the coronavirus is a bit like a pretext, something that is pushing everybody to digitalize everything, digitalize the work, digitalize the theater. And I feel that we have to fight against this, especially in theater, because theater has a social character that I don't think it can be sacrificed so easily. So this pushing against digital, it's okay, digital is an alternative, but I don't think it's the answer. I don't think it's the revolution. I don't think it's an answer that can really make improve what theater can give, what theater can offer.
Yeah.
So, of course, in terms of economics, in terms of I need to work, I need to do things, is a possibility and is a valid possibility to explore, but I don't think this is the battlefield of theater. I really don't think so.
Yeah.
We have to work against that, even if you're working for just one spectator. But no. Well, this is my personal point of view.
So the last question, are there any upcoming projects for you guys?
Yes, of course, we have to keep on working. despite of recreate or reorganize all what we had planned, we would create a new piece for 2022. And we are working on that, hoping, of course, that in 2022 it would be possible to come back to theaters in a present way. I would not say in a normal way, because I don't know what is normal, but in a present way.
So
what, in terms of future, we are working. We would start to rehearse and to write and to create. And that is.
And you don't plan on digital plan B?
No.
No. Yeah.
No. Actually, this summer we had to prepare a project for a festival in Italy, and of course the festival was cancelled, but they wanted finally to do it in a very short edition, and they asked us if we could do something without traveling, and we decided to prepare an option where we didn't travel, with headphones as well, of course. But what was very important was that this proposal was not streaming digital, but was with the presence of spectators, at least. There were no actors, but the actor was the spectator, and then the spectator was also spectator of another spectator. But what was for us very important to come back to the essential part of theater, which was to be on a stage and to be watched on a stage.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for the interview.
Michael, thank you. What's this?